Presley with Martin Besser.
So yesterday we did a round of I was today years old when I found out that dot dot dot, and we got this voice note in that that got a lot of us sitting up paying attention.
A lot of people have their generators running during load shedding. When people are using their generator through their DB boxes, they don't switch off the main switches, which means Eskom even charge them for the electricity they're using on their generator during load shedding, just because they don't switch off the main switches when they use the generator through the DB box.
What? I wanted to know more. On the line to tell us more is Nick von Brumsen from Bundu Power. Hey Nick, good morning. Thanks for your time. How are you?
Morning, Martin. Good, and you?
I'm well, man. I'm well, thanks. Is there any truth in what that lady is saying? And what is she saying?
I think it's a good time to take a little bit of a step back and just look at the problem before we answer that question. Essentially, if you take your generator and you plug it into a wall socket, that's really bad and illegal in terms of the SANS regulations. So what happens then, you're running the generator without any earth leakage protection. So if the generator were to, if there was a fault, the generator wouldn't trip and it would cause a fire. So that's the first thing. So basically, if you were to not turn off your mains breaker when you're running the generator, then when Eskom came back, it would essentially come back into your generator and everything would go pop. So, that's the first thing in terms of running it with the mains breaker on. And the second thing is that if you ran it with the mains breaker on, your power would go back into the grid and your generator wouldn't be able to supply the power. So it would go into overload immediately. So there's definitely no truth to that.
No truth to that at all. So if your generator is set up properly, all you have to do is just basically switch from main to generator. The DB box stays the same.
Exactly. So any electrician would install it in such a way that you'd have a switch that will allow either the Eskom power to come through or the generator, and everything would run through with the earth leakage. Okay. So that everything is protected correctly.
Yeah, that's how mine is set up.
Yeah.
I choose between Eskom power and generator power, the DB box. Well, exactly. All I do on the DB box is just make sure like the geysers off and stuff that would make the generator strain.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's perfect. And I'm sure you were issued with a certificate of compliance, the COC, when they did that.
Sure.
And that's exactly the right way to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what do you think, listening to her voice note, what is she talking about? How does she do it?
I have no idea. I wouldn't want to speculate. But, you know, if you have a solar system that can feed back into the grid or something like that, then yes, you can, in some instances, turn your meter backwards, which, again, isn't legal in Gauteng. So I wouldn't suggest that either. But with the generator, it can't supply the power when there's no Eskom coming from the grid. So essentially, there would be it would overload immediately because you'd be trying to feed the whole Eskom grid.
When you say turn the meter back,
yes,
asking for a friend.
Let's talk about that.
What? Kidding. What do I want to ask you? What is it just me? But when there's lots of load shedding, as there is at the moment, I'm not noticing a difference in what I'm paying for electricity at the end of the month. I'm on prepaid and I pay more or less the same.
Exactly. Me
too. I don't notice a difference.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we notice a difference?
I think probably that in that instance, it's like you say, you turn your geysers off when the power goes off and you run on Jenny. So when you turn it back on, it actually uses a lot more electricity to heat it up from cold. So I think that's probably why you would see that.
Ugh.
Can I ask, do inverters work exactly the same? So you just leave your inverter, you don't have to switch off things at DB boards and?
If you had an inverter installed on certain circuits in your house, then obviously you could leave it without any turning off anything.
Okay.
If you are using one of the small trolley inverters that you buy from one of the hardware stores, then you would normally plug that in with a plug extension. So you wouldn't that wouldn't be running through the whole house. It would just be on the items that you've plugged into it.
Yeah.
Got you.
Very cool.
Geysers take a lot of electricity, right? Anything that warms.
Hell of a lot. Yeah, exactly. Anything that heats uses a lot of electricity.
Underfloor heating, heaters, electrical
that's
heaters.
That's a big one.
Is it?
Underfloor heating is probably the biggest one, yeah.
really. Underfloor heating, geysers. My new microwave oven, weirdly enough, actually, you can hear it on the generator and not the previous one. It's so weird. And the new one has got, I mean, this thing is landing planes. It is impressive. but for some reason, it seems like it draws. Do microwaves draw a lot of power?
No, microwaves are generally not too bad. They're about 900 or 750 to 1,000 watts worth of power. So generally, that's not too much in terms of a generator.
And ovens, of course, bad news.
Yeah, that's so, bad news.
Air fryers?
Air fryers, not too bad. You can run those.
I think fridges is the one thing.
Fridges are not too bad either, provided a newer fridge. All the fridges can use quite a lot of electricity.
The fridge cools, you see. Everything that warms is bad.
Right.
Yeah. pool pump?
Yeah, that's heavy.
No, apparently...
Pool pump...
No,
that uses quite a bit, and because unlike a geyser, it doesn't turn off. You know, it pumps the whole time, so a geyser gets hot and then turns off, whereas the pool pump runs continuously. So over time, it definitely uses a lot.
Well, Nick, I switched mine off.
good on you.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else that you want to point out before we let you go? Any misperceptions, any tips, handy hints for people, for South Africans, also suffering major losses when things, because with electricity going on and off and on and off, some appliances and motors and things just, you know, can't endure that.
Yeah.
Any handy tips for us?
I think that there are quite a few things you can do. There are plugs you can get for fridges that allow it to, it takes a few minutes for the fridge to turn back on when there's been load shedding.
Yeah.
And that protects the motor, so you can get those kind of products. And then, you know, I think a lot of people are working from home, so everybody needs to get something. When you look at an inverter, that's the trolley inverters, that's great. And using a small one, that's perfect, but it only lasts a certain amount of time.
Sure.
And then if you look at a generator, then when you look at the cost of fuel, that's pretty crazy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think for most consumers at the end of the day, a small inverter would get them through most load shedding, and I don't think they should delay. If you can get one now, you should.
You know, the next thing going to be on the market is going to be a fuel-efficient generator.
Yes.
More fuel-efficient generators. That's going to be the next thing. Yeah. What is the best-sized generator, the most efficient?
That really depends on your load. So if you you want to run a generator at about 70 to 80% load, and that's going to give you the efficiency for that specific size.
Mm-hmm. So an average house, three bedroom house, what size generator would you recommend?
Normally it depends on the amount of things the person wants to run, but anything from a 5 to a 10 kVA is normally sufficient.
And those are the ones that you can buy at most of the big shops?
The smaller ones, yes. From a 10 upwards, generally I would say go for something to a more specialized company that deals with it, because they become a lot more complicated and larger, so you can't just take it back to the store. So yeah, from 10 up, I would say go with specialized, and anything below, that's really something you can carry around, so it's not so bad.
What about people living in sectional title stands and flats, townhouses?
You can't run them.
You can't run generators. Are you seeing a lot of inverters, silent generators? I mean, those seem quite pricey, Nick.
Yeah, definitely inverters and full solar systems for those kind of places, where obviously roof space permitting. in terms of generators, definitely sectional title, that's pretty much a no-no, and I think most of them have rules against it. So again, kind of coming back to inverters that you wire into the DB, that's distribution board, and when you do that, then you can run most of the circuits within the house for a certain amount of time, and then get it to charge up from Eskom when it's available again.
Okay, last question. Someone here on the SMS line wants to know, and hair dryers?
Hair dryers.
Life or death.
Hair dryers use quite a lot.
Quite a lot?
I wouldn't use that. Yeah.
What?
They use a lot.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that's going to be very sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
and the GHD?
GHD doesn't use a lot.
Okay.
You can use the GHD.
I'm done. Thank you. I'm literally asking for a friend. Nick, thanks for your time, my friend. Much appreciated. Nick van Brimson from Bundu Power. Much appreciate your time. Thank you very much for that. Cheers,
bro. Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go. So that voice note from yesterday, it seems like a bit of a myth. Everything I need.
Breakfast with Martin Bester.
I love you guys.
Your morning family.